What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend me through the deepest valley. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day, I know He will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hope, my hope is only Jesus. Complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
tithe is complete. In Jesus, most Christians don't understand that. They fight for victory and not from victory. That's the problem. When I became a Christian, for some reason, I knew the battle was won. Hallelujah. And God gave me that insight. And also the Word of God teaches it. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Are you a new creation? Then don't worry about your past very much. Yes, make right what you did wrong if you can. But it's gone. It's gone with the wind. Hallelujah. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, made it so. Last week I've been teaching on the deception of the news media, how they're trying to deceive the peoples of the world. And it's not only here with the CBC, it's CNN, it's Al Jazeera, whatever you want to call it, the BBC. They all have an agenda. It's called globalism. And if they can program the human race into thinking a certain thing, then the Antichrist will just step on the scene and say, start lapping for what I'm going to give you. See, God made us individuals. He made us to think for ourselves. Socialism makes you everybody to think all alike. This is the problem I had with the religion I came from. You were basically a number, and if you didn't think and talk like the other people, you were basically an outcast. And don't try to bring your opinion up front, because they are going to put you down. So they get you to think, they get you to talk a certain way. All the same, there is no such a thing as male and female. We're all transgender. Homosexual is the same as heterosexual. The animal is basically more important than the human being. So they have you thinking that. And many in the world system are completely, completely robbed of their senses. I want you to try something when you go to the States and go into a motel. When you go to bed at night, turn your TV to a Fox channel or to any other channel, and then switch it off. In the morning, you'll get up, you'll turn on your TV, and guess which channel comes on? It's called CNN. When you go to a restaurant, you watch the TV, you will notice a channel called CNN. When you go to an airport, you will notice a channel called CNN. What is going on? They're basically paying the businesses to make sure their channel is on. What's the reason? So that they have more viewers? That's one thing, but they want to brainwash everybody. We're supposed to be free thinkers. We're supposed to think for ourselves. We're supposed to go into the Word of God and become what God has created us. An individual who thinks for himself but honors God. Hallelujah. That's how it is. And we're fast heading towards this one world government. Yes, the world system will have it. It's coming. It's going to last 7 years. And they're going to have an incredible time here on this earth. And the one holding back will hold back until we're taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked one be revealed. Who is going to take the reins of the government and control everybody? But God says for us, the church, you are not in darkness. That day should overtake you, that you will be fooled by the world system and many of the religious system and many in the church preaching that we're going to be mixed up in this wrath of God that God is going to pour out upon this planet. It's going to be horrific. It's going to be horrible. I have talked to different people over the last week, and there seems to be a lack of understanding of the last of the end times. Yes, the power of God is flowing, but if a lack of understanding of what God's plan is for the people of this generation, then how can you walk with your head up? How can you even think ahead? How can you know what's going to happen? God wants us to see it, and he will show it to us if we dare to ask him. And the Holy Spirit has placed on my heart to preach on these subjects, not only for this church, because this church has heard it over and over again, but for those who are listening on the internet, which are quite a few. So today, before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for a blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you will anoint this message. Open people's hearts to the truth of what Scripture is teaching. I thank you for your grace, and I ask you to bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. This world is heading for an incredible time of Jacob's trouble. That means the Israelis are going to suffer immensely. There's going to be great tribulation. The Church of God is, of course, not going to be involved in this because we're going to be celebrating a marriage supper in heaven. Hallelujah, it's going to be great. The wine we drink here is not going to be able to be compared to what we're going to drink there. The steak that we're going to have over there, we can't compare it, so I'm not going to even try. There's not going to be anybody with no appetite. There's not going to be anybody with sugar diabetes. So get ready. You're going to have a good time. But in the meantime, here on earth, Matthew 24 and verse 21, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us there's two comings of the Lord Jesus Christ, one at the end of the tribulation and one at the beginning of the tribulation. The beginning is where we are saying, adios, everybody. We had a good time, but we're finished. We're going to see you. So it says in Matthew 24 and verse 21, for there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever will be. Anybody who has studied history on YouTube are on these channels that bring out those documentaries will understand that this world has seen horrifying tribulation. Have you seen the bulldozers pushing the dead skeletons into trenches as they bury them after World War II? Unbelievable horrors that those people had to suffer. And God is saying it's going to get worse. It's going to be worse. But this time, it's the world system that's going to be judged. And they are going to experience some incredible stuff. In Matthew 24 and verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of these days, shall the sun be dark and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Anybody gets anxious when there's a thunderclap, when great lightning comes? Well, this is nothing compared to what's going to happen here. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth celebrate. Is that what it's saying? No, they're not going to celebrate. They are going to mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The reason they're going to mourn, the reason they're going to jump into holes and into cracks and into caves and cry for the rocks to fall upon them is this. They will mingle themselves with the demonic realm. for the simple reason of trying to get God, kick God out of the universe. God in heaven shall laugh as they make their plans. The Bible teaches us that Satan will be brought down here. The earth will open up. The demonic realm will come out. And we're going to see incredible stuff taking place. And when they see Jesus coming back, then they will know that their goose is cooked. It's finished. God is going to destroy them. He's going to throw them into a pit where he's going to visit them. Later on, 1,000 years later, he'll say, guys, have patience. We're coming to you yet. First, we're going to have 1,000 years of peace without your influence, and we'll show how it's done here. He'll take the government on his shoulders. God is going to come here and straighten out this mess that we're seeing. It tells us in Zechariah chapter 14 in verse 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against these nations. I can imagine these people coming against God. What a hopeless case. As he will fight against these nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, as that which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north and half towards the south. I stood on that Mount of Olives, and I visualized Jesus coming down. And I was in the presence of the Lord there for a couple of minutes, and I saw human beings simply screaming in fright as they saw God coming down from heaven. And not only God coming down from heaven, we will be riding on white horses following him. God is not going to do all this by himself. He'll say, Dave, I want to let you in on the fun. We're going to clean these guys up. And it's going to be a pleasure. Hallelujah. I did some groundhog shooting the last couple of days, and it was fun. And I'm looking forward to this groundhog kill that's going to happen when we come back. Why? It is because they are enemies of God, and they want to try to eliminate him. But like it says, God in heaven shall laugh. Yes, these people are God haters. And when you watch them on TV, you can't imagine their hatred for God. That you become riled up in your spirit. You want to take them by the neck and choke them a little bit. They need a little sense. It's God that created us and not we ourselves. So the air that we breathe, the food that we eat, God gives it to us. So why should they act that way? But Satan has them fooled, and some of them are willingly being led by Satan. They're not fooled. They understand. So these nations shall fight, but to no avail. So God is going to clean them up, and then he's going to take the government on his shoulders. He's going to clean up this mess that the world system made, and it's going to be incredible. I cannot wait for the day, but we have to be patient. God has a time and a season, and we basically know when that's going to happen. It's going to happen after the tribulation, immediately after the tribulation. God gives you the days, and he also gives you the weeks, and he also gives you the months, where you can do a countdown from a certain time. But the rapture of the church, when we're going to be leaving this planet, nobody knows the day or the hour. And that has me baffled sometimes. Why wouldn't God allow me a sneak peek? Whenever somebody goes into a coma or has a vision or he has a heavenly experience, they all get the same requests from God to tell the earth, to tell the people here, I'm coming soon. Well, we've been waiting for quite a while, but one thing I know for a fact, I'm 70 years closer to the day than when I started. Hallelujah. I'm 70 years closer. He's coming. Praise the Lord. So, the Bible teaches, Matthew 24, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So don't try to make a prediction. It ain't going to work. There's a few that did it already. It's fun to watch them. And then they have to explain themselves once the day comes and goes. And it's fun watching them trying to explain themselves. But Jesus said, I'll come. Nobody will know that day or that hour. It's like in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There's something we have to understand. At the end of the tribulation, there's not going to be any marriage, for the Bible teaches us they will forbid to marry. And it's not talking about the Catholic priests. It's talking about the tribulation period where they will forbid to marry. The New Age movement will have its hooks in everybody. They will be forbidden to eat what? Meat. Have you noticed the latest craze that they're all promoting? We're going to have this beautiful burger at Burger King, which is just beans, tastes like meat. Yeah, I'm sure it does. This is how they're slowly training everybody. Get away from meat, because an animal has the same right as us to live here. They even got more rights. If you don't know that for a fact, try shooting an eagle and you'll find out your prison sentence. If you shoot an eagle, make sure nobody knows about it. Just giving you a word of caution. But it says, as in the days of Noah, they'll be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. First of all, there's not going to be eating and drinking at the end of the tribulation, because there's not going to be any food left. There's not going to be marrying and giving in marriage, because they'll forbid to marry. On and on, I can give you an example. Because at the end of the tribulation, the Bible teaches us, if we don't come back, no flesh will be left. But here at the rapture, it says everybody is going to have a good time. There's going to be a relative peace time. People will be singing peace and safety, then sudden destruction. As in the days of Noah, they were just going about life as usual, not really caring, not really worrying about what's going to happen. Then one day the rain came and it was over. And this is exactly how it's going to work. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Paul says, I didn't conjure this up. I didn't have some nightmare or dream. This is from the word of God. It says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Hallelujah. Helen is going to rise out of that grave and say, hey, we're going to be now together forever. For those of us who lost loved ones and they knew the Lord, no more separation. For the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. It doesn't say that here. It says it in another scripture. we shall first be changed because this body has to be taken off. Who's going to be glad for that? A lot of us older ones are going to say, adios, arthritis. Adios, we'll see you, toothache. We'll see you all forever, never anymore. Now we got a new body. Hallelujah. These which are alive and remain shall be changed, and we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I was at the Mount of Olives, and I envisioned Jesus coming down. Here it says, he shall not come down on the Mount of Olives, but we shall go up to meet him in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And here is what a lot of Christians don't like about this. They know in their hearts they're not quite ready. Why are they not quite ready? Because they don't understand grace, the salvation message. In Jesus Christ, we're ready, regardless who we are, what we are, if we're born again by the Spirit of God. We are ready to meet the Lord in the air. But there are a lot of Christians who fight for victory and not from victory, so they're not ready for this quick appearing of Jesus. They want to prove themselves that they're ready in the tribulation. That's why they like the idea of going into the tribulation. I want to tell those people who believe we have to be cleansed by the tribulation. It is this. You're not cleansed by suffering. You're not cleansed by living a good life. You're not cleansed by any of those things. The only thing that'll cleanse you is the precious blood of Jesus. That and that alone. And anybody who hears this gospel where God says, he that comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He that rejects this incredible salvation where God says, I will give you my righteousness. All you have to do is give me your sins. He that doesn't want this exchange, then let him go to hell. Hallelujah. And I'll pat him on the back as he goes. If he rejects God like that, he is an utter fool and has absolutely no idea or God consciousness. But for us who know, for us who enjoy this great God, hallelujah, he is our joy, he is our peace, and he's the one where we look onto, and he'll make us ready for this great and awesome day when he'll say, come up hither, for I am ready to have this marriage supper. So the Bible teaches us we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Let me tell you, those 70 years on this earth were worth it, seeking Jesus. Everything else is nothing. If you're going to die today, tomorrow, or next week, you're not going to think about your bank account. I know that for a fact. You're not going to think about your Rolls Royce or your junker. You're not going to think about your wedding ring even. You may not even think about any of those good things that were so dear to you. You're going to think of one thing, and that's the one who's going to be greeting you as you cross that finish line, and that's Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that interesting? And that's for us who know this God. And here is what he promises in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. It's sitting right in the middle of the description of the tribulation where God is going to pour out his wrath. It tells us, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise you, Jesus. I'm ready to go. I don't care if people don't believe in the rapture. That's their problem. I'll be rejoicing in that event day by day. That's my privilege because I dare to believe Scripture. I dare to believe the heart of Jesus. And the heart of Jesus is this. I pray and I want you to prosper as your soul prospers. And how does my soul prosper? If my spirit is saved, my soul is in a very fantastic, beautiful situation. Yes, it's going to be hampered left and right. Yes, it's going to be torn by the flesh, but it's connected to my spirit. And my spirit, when I became born again, got saved, secured, sealed unto the day of redemption. And that's coming soon. Hallelujah. So bless you and make you a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen.
As I wake up with the morning of each day that passes by, and I listen to the sound upon my ears, I can't help but to keep a watch towards the eastern sky, and I wonder if the trumpet will be the next sound that I'll hear. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for Him to take His children home. How scarred hands, what a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. All my earthly disappointments and my trials here below fade away. Children unto Him, and I'm longing to look upon the face of my Lord. What a